Palmer in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Nominate your community's unsung hero for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Judas Priest, artist of the day. We got Arash Madani on the way, about 20 after. We'll talk Grey Cup. Yes, the Edmonton Eskimos, first cup win in 10 years, defeating the Ottawa Red Blacks yesterday afternoon. 26-20, the finale. What you want to talk about? Pinder's got a busy 9 o'clock on the way as well, but right now we catch up with Derek Wills.
Wills in the morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ramps starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
Well, Derek, I know before the road trip, we had the discussion, well, if they can go on this trip, maybe you win two or three. If you can find a way in Anaheim because they're not playing well, and who knows about the Coyotes, we'll see what that's all about and all of that. They come home from a near fruitless trip. They get the single point, but specifically the loss in San Jose, much, I guess, like Anaheim, they played well against Chicago and then take a step back. Certainly Saturday against the Sharks, it was not their best night, and that's maybe being kind.
Yeah, that's safe to say, Boomer. I mean, they could have won two of three. When you look back to the first game of the road trip, they had 2-0 and 3-2 leads versus the Ducks. Didn't necessarily deserve to have them, but it was one of those games they certainly could have stolen, but unfortunately didn't let it happen in the third period with three unanswered goals against. Second game of the trip against the Coyotes, they should have won it. They should have won it in regulation time. They were, I think, by far the better of the two teams, but they were not the most opportunistic of the two teams in that 2-1 overtime loss, and then they did not play very well against the Sharks. I mean, there's no point beating around the bush. They were not very good in the first two periods. I thought they were terrific in the third period, and I think that's what's frustrating. You see how good they can be. You mentioned that game against the Blackhawks. They were fantastic. They can play against any team in the league when they play like that. Same thing with the third period against the Sharks. Now, I guess you take it with a grain of salt because it was a 4-0 hockey game, and the Sharks kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, but the Flames played with a tremendous amount of urgency in that third period. They tried to get back in the game, and they'd played like that from the get-go. Who knows? Maybe they win that hockey game Saturday night.
Troubling, a few things continue to bog down this team, and the special team specifically. I don't even know what to say anymore because we talked about it last week, and Rhett talked about how now you got to practice it, and that's painful. But their power play is 29th. Their penalty kill is 30th. Against the Sharks, two Sharks power plays, two goals, three opportunities for the Flames, nothing doing. Boy, that the math is usually, if you combine your two percentages, if you're 100 or better, you're in good shape. They're at 83, 84%.
Which is what the penalty kill should be.
Yeah, that's what your kill should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a tough go right now, special teams-wise, and I'm not sure exactly why that's the case.
Yeah, it's a killer. I mean, if you win the special teams battle, you put yourself in such a good position to win the game, and they have lost it way more often than not this season, and it's both sides. And usually if your power play is good, your penalty kill's not, you can live with that and vice versa, but it's been both sides of special teams this season, and they do practice it. They practice it all the time. They tried some new things during the road trip. As a matter of fact, they had four forwards out there for a couple of opportunities against the Coyotes, and that really didn't seem to work. So, you know, the coaches have kind of tried everything that they can think of, from practicing it every single day at practices and morning skates to trying four forwards on the power play. They were more aggressive on the penalty kill, which I think worked well against the Coyotes but didn't against the Sharks. I'm like you guys. I'm not sure what to say about it anymore. I mean, they keep trying to make it work, and for whatever reason, it's not. I will say this about the penalty kill. Your most important penalty killer is your goaltender. I think you need some more saves.
Wow, we definitely need more saves. I think it's very simple, the power play and penalty kill. It shows how hard they're working. We talk about Saturday night. They don't show up. They don't put in the effort. Well, power play penalty kill doesn't just happen. It's always been about the effort, and the penalty killers on the other team, all they think about is, okay, well, there's four of us. I'm going to have to outwork the five guys on the other team. Well, they're being outworked. And you, I said to Boomer earlier today, you call it because of the special teams is no good or the goaltending is no good. Well, yeah, they're no good, but neither is the effort. And if the effort's no good, the other stuff doesn't follow.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there seems to be a lack of urgency right now. I mean, look at the Sharks' power plays in the second period. So they've got a 2-0 lead, and they're playing well, and they're definitely the better of the two teams. But they have a chance to put the game away, first with a 5-on-3 power play, and then a 5-on-4. They had urgency on both power plays. They didn't wait for the 5-on-3 to expire, for the 5-on-4. They wanted to score 5-on-3 and give themselves a chance to score again 5-on-4. That's exactly what they did, tallying twice in less than a minute. And when you watch the Flames on the power play, it's like, okay, we've got 2 minutes. There's no rush to score here. But I think that lack of urgency has certainly hurt them on the power play. And you're right. I mean, if work ethic and a lack of urgency is the issue, I mean, I guess the question is, how do you correct that, Rhett?
Well, that's exactly it. I was going to say, how and why? When the last two seasons, what we've taken heart in watching the Flames has been their work ethic, their commitment, their effort levels. How and why is this year different? I can't understand it.
Yeah, well, I think that makes two of us at least, and probably a bunch more. And you might be able to include the management group and coaching staff and that group of people as well. I'm sure they're as frustrated as anybody right now. I know that you're out in the public. I'm out in the public. We talk to the fans. We see their frustration. We hear their frustration. I mean, it's just been a difficult go. And just when you think the team's about to get back into it, they've won four in a row at home. They're heading on the road with some momentum. They got 1 out of 6 points on the road trip. I mean, that's it's a tough setback. Now they've got to try to get something going at home. I mean, this is a really important month. For me, December is a make-or-break month for this team. They've got 9 home games and only, I think, 4 or 5 away games this month. They've got one trip in the middle of the month. They've got long homestands at the start of December and the end of December. They've got to find a way to stretch that home winning streak, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, they've got the league leader in wins coming in, the Stars second overall points-wise in the National Hockey League. So the Flames are going to have to play tomorrow night the type of game they played against the Blackhawks in their last home game if they want to compete with the Stars and give themselves a chance to beat them.
Just want to get your thoughts. Again, it's hard not to look at the team and feel like things are just not going very, very well. But Marcus Granlund comes in. The one thing that his knock was face-offs. Plays the other night, wins 5 of 7, 71%, plays 13 minutes, which was more than Michael Backlund, and scores a goal on the season. Not a bad night on an otherwise forgettable evening.
Yeah, and I thought the fourth line was actually really good in both games last weekend, Boomer. I mean, and maybe that's part of the problem. When your third and fourth lines are your best lines, you wonder why you're not getting more from your first and second lines. And I mean, the Flames' first line was fantastic for the first part of the season and has been very good for most of the year. But that was kind of Johnny Gaudreau, and Sean Monahan's been playing better. Yuri Hudler continues to struggle. The second line, I think it was good in the Friday game against the Coyotes and pretty good in the game prior to that against the Ducks, the Backlund-Bennett for a league trio. But you look at the Flames' third line, Stajan, Colburn, and Jones have been really good for a while. And then I thought their fourth line was their best line on Saturday night. And you know, Marcus Granlund, he's been working on face-offs since he turned pro and finally wound up on the right side of the win-loss total on Saturday night. And then I thought both of his wingers played with a ton of energy as well. Michael Ferland's starting to come around a little bit, guys. He's become more of a physical force. He's really skating well right now. And then Josh Juris, I thought he brought a lot of energy to the game. And that's why their ice time was increased. And Bob Hartley told us after the game on Friday that if there hadn't been so many special team situations in that contest versus the Coyotes, that fourth line would have played a lot more. And they played well again on Saturday against the Sharks, and they got rewarded. All three of them were over 10 minutes.
Derek, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. It will be a daunting task for sure, but the Dallas Stars come in. They are they were good here when they visited last season, and they arguably, or maybe not arguably, have gotten even better. So we'll get ready for that one when we chat again tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Have a good day, guys.
Wills in the Morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ram starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
The Grey Cup was handed out in Winnipeg last night. The Edmonton Eskimos come back in the fourth quarter to win at 26-20. Arash Badani was there. He's our guest when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey lives here. Proud home for the Calgary Flames and the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the Morning, brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Know someone whose quiet hard work makes hockey happen in your community? Nominate them for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
8:27. It is the 30th of November. The CFL season has come to a close in Winnipeg, where there's been questions about the building, and you always worry about the weather and what all of that sort of stuff. But from the outside, it looked like Grey Cup 103 came off and Winnipeg looked pretty good. Arash Badani, you were there. Your thoughts on not the game so much, but just the spectacle and Grey Cup week in Winnipeg?
Yeah, no, it was a solid Grey Cup week, Boom. You know, it was uneventful from a crisis standpoint, which first and foremost in any championship week, especially when the CFL is involved, you want to make sure of. But as has been the case all season, outside of the East Final, the game underwhelmed.
Yeah.
The game disappointed.
Now, what
the
about
game was far from a masterpiece.
You mentioned the controversy. What about the chainsaws? No chainsaws. That's
The loggers weren't allowed on the field. Yeah, that was a CFL decision, though. That wasn't an organizing committee or a city decision.
Yeah, but they were urged by the Eskimos, were they not? That Ottawa shouldn't be able to bring their loggers to the game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Why? Well, you add some authenticity and some Canadiana to it, huh?
But you're right. It was a 13-0 lead early, but you really felt like, well, Riley hasn't even had the ball yet. Good start, makes for a more intriguing game, but still going to be skeptical if this lead holds up.
Right, and in large part, it's because of that Eskimos defense, right? I mean, and Ottawa's defense was terrific, too. I mean, both were suffocating, both were overwhelming. And the real difference in the game, Boom, came from the Red Blacks defense. I mean, they opened up the game playing man-to-man, and that's when Riley was able to find his shots. I mean, 6.5 minutes come into the game, Riley finally into his first huddle. Well, he drives him down for a field goal. Then Burris has the interception. They come down with the touchdown. You're thinking to yourself, game on. But then Ottawa goes into his own defense, and with the extra defensive back in that secondary, the pressure was able to get to the Eskimos quarterback, and Riley just wasn't able to find much. But towards the end of the game, Ottawa went back into man-to-man coverage. And Riley said to himself, you know, I talked to him after the game, there was 6 minutes left, they're down two. They started to see in certain formations the Red Blacks going to man-to-man. He said, it's now or never. Now I got to go for it. They did back-to-back pass interference penalties that set up the touchdown, the game-winning touchdown.
What did you now? I know you talked. I saw on Twitter your comment about the final pass interference call that really put them in the position to get that game winning touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'll let you get to it. But do you believe that was that ball underthrown? And you also commented about what the league had said about pass interference calls on balls that were not thrown to the receiver.
So here's what happened in training camp way back in June. The league sent officials and the head of officiating, Glenn Johnson, to all the different camps. And they said, look, point of emphasis is going to be illegal contact. No more hand fighting between the defensive back with the receiver, or we're going to get you. And, you know, we're looking for PI, and obviously pass interference can be now challenged. But they also told the players that if a ball is woefully underthrown and the receiver can't make a play on it, but even if there's going to be some contact down the field, if we effectively view that uncatchable because it's so underthrown, we're not going to throw a pass interference flag. The issue is, Boom, they did all season. You know, so what they told the players, what the letter of the law is, are two different things. And by letter of the law, that has to be pass interference in which the rule is written, in which the spirit of the rule is set. But at the same time, you know, they came out and told the players different things.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant little piece of coaching by Chris Jones.
I was just going to ask you. I was just going to ask you about that. You take that time out when you really don't need it, but it bought them time, and it went a long way to winning them that game.
You know what else is amazing? Jones did not have a successful challenge all season.
Yeah.
Gets to the West Final, absolutely did against the Stampeders last night, probably the most important and successful challenge of the season.
I don't know that he's going to rank in best quarterbacks in Eskimo history or CFL history. And I said earlier, I'm going to keep Bo Levi Mitchell if I'm the Calgary Stampeders, but I'd be fine if Mike Riley was my team's quarterback. You got to love the way he plays and competes.
Yeah, you know, it's beyond what you see on the field. And this is kind of where my job fits. And I like to find out a little bit about what isn't on the surface. And I got lucky this week because Travis Lule was our analyst. He did a terrific job. But when Lule was the man in BC, winning the league most outstanding player and Grey Cup MVP, Mike Riley had fought for the number three job on that roster. But Mike and Travis became good friends. Travis stood in Mike's wedding this spring. But Riley would tell Travis, you know, joking around, but he's like, hey, I'm your backup at work, but I'm not your backup in life. And Mike Riley has that knack that even though he's the number three quarterback on a depth chart, so much of where you are in the football hierarchy and the pecking order, you know, kind of translates away from the field too. Riley wasn't like that. And guys gravitate towards that. You know, when they were 4-14 2 years ago, the core base of that team was Mike Riley, Odell Willis, Adarius Bowman, and Shamad Chambers. Well, wouldn't you know it, that Mike Riley is the Grey Cup MVP. Shamad Chambers is the top Canadian. Adarius Bowman was the most impressive threat on the field. And, you know, Odell Willis led that defense. But Riley Boone told them 2 years ago, remember this. Remember how bad this is. Remember how tough this is because we have to go through this. And we're going to laugh about this when we have our success. And that 2013 season, the Eskimos had an 8-game losing streak and a 5-game losing streak. Amidst that 5-game losing streak, Riley comes over to Odell and says, hey, remember this, remember this. Odell's like, Mike, get out of my face. I don't want to hear this. Yeah. But then the light bulb went off. And Willis said, sometimes you have to look at yourself in the mirror, not the quarterback, not the offense when things aren't going well. And lo and behold, they remember that last night. I spoke with Willis about it, Riley about it, and Chambers about it. They all remembered the hardship of what they went through, and Mike Riley was the leader that got them to a 2015 championship.
Chatting with Arash Madani on, obviously, Grey Cup yesterday. Eskimos win at 26-20 now. John Huffnagel put the water on the fire that he's not leaving. He's staying in Calgary. But what's it going to be for Chris Jones? Three CFL cities, three Grey Cup rings, and, of course, will be highly sought after as a coach GM type of a spot because that's not exactly what he's got in Edmonton.
Let me correct you. Four CFL cities, four championship rings. Montreal, Toronto, Calgary.
Oh, Toronto,
and
that's
now Edmonton,
right.
Boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, he broke into the CFL with Don Matthews in the Alouettes.
Yeah, that's right, man.
And, you know,
he's going to run the table.
He's going to rival Kevin Glenn pretty soon. What's amazing about the Jones story first, is remember how nobody wanted him to be a head coach? How nobody would hire him to be coach? Here he is. His defenses are routinely among the best in the league. But they said, nah, he's too brash. Nah, he's not polished enough. Nah, he's not head coaching material. Oh, really? You took a 4-win team. You inherited a 4-win team and turned him into a 12-win team and a 14-win team and a champion. And now you're one of the most sought-after guys that the Saskatchewan Roughriders want to hire you as a general manager and head coach?
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. He'd have full control of the operation. His salary likely doubles. He's already the main guy finding personnel on every defense he goes to. He was assistant general manager by title in Toronto. and the Riders need to hit a home run. And with Hufnagel out of the mix, what's left? There's John Murphy in Calgary, assistant GM. I suppose Brock Sunderland, the assistant GM in Ottawa. But going in a new stadium with a fan base right now after what just happened this season, you need to sell something. And who better to sell than the Grey Cup winning coach who finds all these guys on that defense?
Yeah.
These next 48 hours are going to be very interesting.
So, lasting thoughts on 2015. It is done. One of the best teams did win it. There was no Cinderella upset this year. What, as far as free agents beyond Chris Jones, what kind of significant change or moves might we see prior to next year?
Well, you're going to see, from a coaching front, you're probably going to see a new defensive coordinator in Toronto. I'm still suspecting there's going to be some kind of shakeup in BC. I don't see that thing settling. There's a free agent, the top Canadian in the Grey Cup last night. Shamar Chambers is up. Adarius Bowman, who is a game changer, he's up. You know, there are enough. Rob Bagg is up. Chad Owens is up. Ricky Ray is up. Trevor Harris is up. There could be some, you know, some new laundry on these guys. But fundamentally, Boom, what we learned in 2015 is that this game needs to be fixed. This was perhaps one of the least entertaining on-field football seasons we can remember in quite some time. You know, when the league will tell you, oh, well, you know, scoring was up 8%, 6%. Well, that's fine. Didn't make the games any better. You know, penalties were up again. So what they have to focus on is finding a way, as a rules committee, to open up the game and make it better without throwing a flag every other snap. And somehow making this thing more watchable. Because there were a lot of times this season it wasn't. And, you know, you're trying to get it to a younger, skew to a demographic that's younger. You're trying to get more eyeballs on the television after ratings went down 15%. The league is far from crisis mode like it was in the 90s, but there are some warning signs here that you want to nip at the bud before it becomes something a little more severe.
Did you get out of Winnipeg yet, or are you enjoying the River
City? Packing. I am packing.
Sad to leave.
Packing and headed to the airport around noon. So,
Arash, my man, thanks for all the CFL updates this season. We do appreciate it. Safe travels, and we'll talk soon enough, I know.
All right, Boom, thanks.
You bet. Arash Badani, our CFL insider, all season long. And I know you just want to you had no interest in talking in that interview until he started talking about how poor the season was.
I was going to ask him how to fix it, but then he got right into it.
No, you know.
It's true, though.
I mean, just want to have one final. We could talk all day about how bad it is, I understand. Let's just have one last interview, talk about the Grey Cup, and call it a year.
This guy is glass half full.
I know.
Everything's positive.
I know.
It's wonderful.
It's great that it was the least interesting season in recent history.
I don't disagree.
You're not making the playoffs. Perfect.
Yeah, I know. This is awesome. Great. Good stuff. It's the best thing that could happen.
Play those kids that aren't playing in the NHL. It's great.
Are you a 55-year-old woman?
It's great.
Check out my new dress.
Come in. Negative. It's positive.
Eat. Sit down. Eat. It's been such an awful year. What are we going to do?
No, it does feel like piling on.
Talk more about
the ratings will be out midday today, so that'll be the next opportunity for everyone to dump on them.
Every week we do clean it up, and Pinder just goes double barrels on the CFL. Can't wait for Wednesday.
It's like, hey, why don't we put our feature game right up against the Patriots at
10-0? All right.
We got to get out of here.
20:08 from 9 o'clock, what you want to talk about. 960-960 mobile phone when we come back. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Calgary's home for great sports talk and Flames play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Brought to you by ATB Financial, your home ice advantage. Nominate your community's unsung hero for ATB's Home Ice Hero Award at atb.com/home ice. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is 8:48. If you're a Habs fan, are you sitting down? Word out of Montreal that Carey Price is going to miss 6 weeks of action. No surgery needed for his lower body injury, but it is going to be a month and a half without the Hart Trophy winner. They are still in very good shape, are the Habs. Make no mistake, 18-4-3. That's good for tops in the Atlantic and tops in the, I believe it's tops in the East too, right? They are 4 points up on Washington for the overall lead in the Eastern Conference. Can Mike Condon continue to be the guy and keep the Habs rolling until he comes back? No reason, I guess, by this point to think he can't, because he has been, right?
It's very similar to the Talbot situation last year when Lundqvist went down.
I would be not concerned at all.
There you go.
Just get healthy for spring, Kerry. Do what you need to do. Go to the Mediterranean for a week after you're healthy. We don't care. Just be healthy in the spring.
Well, there you
take
go.
Eight.
It's 8:49. Let's do the thing that we do that's called What You Want to Talk About.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
What You Want to Talk About with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ram starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
Yeah, you know how to do it. 960-960 on your mobile phone. It's our fan feedback line. Get them through. We will deal with them accordingly. It appears as though there's some piling on of the CFL. There's some Pinders out there. Ah, finally, the best day of the CFL season, the last day. On to real football now. CFL officiating is beyond bad. Fix that and you fix a lot, period. I tried to get my 11-year-old to watch the game yesterday. He got through one quarter and that was it.
He's 11.
He can watch an NFL game, though. I don't know. Want to know how to fix the CFL? Get rid of it so no one has to watch that garbage. Seems harsh.
I'm not there.
Pinder, who's peeling more, Boomer or Rhett?
Both in surprisingly good shape. Rhett's a little more brown, but the lights are down and Boom's got a hat on and a hoodie, so there's not a lot.
Are you wowed by our golden tans?
Well, you said you didn't believe in sunscreen, so I was worried about you, but apparently you changed your philosophy.
Only on the boat.
Well, that would be where there's no shade. That's a good place to wear it.
Yeah, we would have been hurting.
Granlund better than Backlund. Time for him to be the fourth line center.
I have a problem with that line that much.
I think he's talking about Backlund.
Yeah, no, I know. No, but I mean, like, Hudler, Bennett, Frolik hasn't been bad.
Arash was wondering why the ratings were down. Well, the most followed team in the CFL sucks. What do you suspect?
Sorry,
expect. If Sask was at least in the hunt, it would have been better. I agree.
Well, that's Rhett, right? Like, how many games did you have watched if the Rough Riders were the Eskimos this year? Most of them, if not all of them.
Come on.
You know, no, but I was actually, it was weird because I was going to ask Lacken for that. We're talking about 6-5 teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they want this. What's
parity?
Parity, not diversity. Parity.
And diversity. That's also very good.
Well, that's a good thing, too. But is it? Because, like, with the CFL, you almost want to. If the Riders, if you love them or hate them, at least they're there, right?
Yeah, well, whereas 6 out of your 9 teams make the playoffs every year, right?
NFL, if everyone's just kind of ho-hum, well, you've got no one to really love or hate.
Mm-hmm. So the Flames are in the cellar, the Stamps are done, and D-bag Chris Jones just won a great cup. Boomer, we really need you to cheer us up this week.
That's why he's so positive.
We can do that, buddy.
Trust me, he is.
He's a ray of sunshine, this guy.
Look at here.
Kind of sickening.
Good morning, Boomer. Welcome back. Hey, Boomer, did you bring Pinder back a gift from your trip since he didn't get to go?
I always get you gifts when I go traveling.
I told Boomer we should get you a gift and Boomer said that.
That's not a gift. Hey, moving on. Hey, guys, who looks better in a mankini, Warner with his six-pack or Boomer with his beer keg?
I wouldn't. I would say that we both look quite striking.
Well, I'll say this much.
Stricken by some sort of disease?
We were some of
diabetes.
The...
diabetes?
We were some of
we
the...
We would have been the big fish in the little pond.
Really?
Oh,
you were the good-looking folk there?
We would have held a lot of sway with the ladies if we'd have so choosing.
How were the ladies?
We would have held. Well, look at us.
Yeah.
And if we're.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. Mm.
I cannot watch a Flames game and not sing "Do the Schlem Cat" every time they say Schlemko. My wife thinks I'm an idiot.
They don't say Schlemko much these days in the Flames games.
You might be because he doesn't play for the Flames anymore.
No, they said it, last week when they played Jersey? That was about it.
That was about it. CFL should switch to 4-down NFL rules and field.
No, it's not what we're saying here, people.
Hey, clowns who hate the CFL. Learn some respect and appreciate the tradition that is Canadian football, you bunch of losers.
I think it got a bad rap this year. The Riders were out, which was big, and so was every quarterback.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, guys, let's borrow Carey Price's goalie equipment and just put it in front of our net. It would be an improvement over what we currently have.
Can we trade for that?
If you need six tonight to win, you may as well have Carey's gear. You could auction it off after every game.
CCM gear in exchange.
Virgie, what do you need for the gear?
Yeah.
The Flames should try to unload Hoodler, Jones, Stajan, and Hiller. Let the rookies run with it in the fall if they need some experience.
Preaching to the choir on that.
Yeah. Hey, going to dinner tonight. Need to bring something for the food bank. What should I bring?
Some canned goods.
Bring some, yes. Non-perishables. Perishables. Pinder, I don't think the CFL planned the Grey Cup 3 years ago to be on TV against the 10-0 Patriots.
No, but they do plan to put it on Sunday every bloody year. Why not Saturday? Why do I, as a sports fan of both leagues, have to choose? Should I not be able to have both? I think it's really simple. You could just plop this on a Saturday afternoon, not against the NFL, and more people would tune in. I do not think it's that crazy. I don't think this is brain surgery here. Is it that crazy, guys?
Nope, I agree with you.
Holy.
Have you heard of a PVR? You can record the Broncos game after the Grey Cup. It was a great game, and I like the NFL better, too. So he did both.
It was a great game? I thought
the Broncos game was.
Mm-hmm. I think he's saying maybe the Grey Cup was great. I don't know. If you like the CFL or not, can we all just agree that basketball sucks?
Uh-huh.
I don't like that tone. You know, I like what you enjoy what you enjoy. Why do we have to be so down? Do NFL guys that bash the CFL actually watch the NFL?
Last night's game was a perfect example of the polished product when it's at its best. That Sunday nighter was excellent. Snow, late field goal in the middle of horrible conditions, huge touchdown play in overtime, undefeated team against, you know, a legends looking on from the booth and Peyton Manning. Like that was a great game last night. That was the best football game yesterday.
The Oilers are last again. Great. Looks like Kevin Lowe's job is safe for another year. Signed a tier two Oiler fan.
Isn't he like booking concerts to the new rink? He can't be near anything hockey right now, can he?
Every time I watch the Flames game, I keep hearing that Sven Barchi song you played from The Price is Right. Well, again, much like David Schlemko, he's no longer on the team.
Doesn't matter.
What have you. Boomer, what's more enjoyable, getting your back waxed or Pinter rubbing aloe vera on you? Well, neither has happened, I'll leave it up to debate. I love the CFL. It does need help, but don't change the rules. That's what makes it ours.
They're not going to change the rules.
No rule changes.
The reffing could be better, but it could be better in the NFL, too. Oof.
Every time I watch the Flames, I hear, "Happy birthday, Tim Jackman." See, again, I'm not sure why that would conjure that memory for you, because Tim Jackman no longer plays for the Calgary Flames. If the CFL wants to attract younger viewers, it's got to bring in bigger stars to generate more interest. Of the lies, the way it's going now,
otherwise?
Take it or leave it.
Holy.
You know what? Instead of working on the CFL, let's just work on diction.
How about pulling over while texting? That's something we should start working on there, bud.
Yeah. Don't be driving and texting.
Not CFL cool. Can eat my shorts. CFL is Bush League. I appreciate the traditions of this second-tier garbage league, a tradition unlike any other, because it's garbage. Am I crazy thinking the CFL should avoid Sundays? I'd watch if they were all Saturday games. Competing with the NFL is a mistake.
Been yelling that from the highest point of view for a long time.
Yeah.
Pinder, about 2 years ago, they tried doing the conference finals on Saturday, and they didn't improve on their ratings at all, so they went back to Sundays. They have tried your idea. It didn't work.
Yeah, they tried once, so I guess it's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
I think it's more and more an issue as the demographic of your fans keeps getting older and older and older.
Who the hell is this positive guy with Boomer's voice? I feel great.
Sunshine, game back.
Yeah, man. What's there to be down about?
The only man to eat soup in plus 30 degree weather.
It's turned a new leaf.
Ooh, the soup. Yeah. That looks delicious.
It does. I'd have had something else, but, you know.
I'd eat light in that heat.
Every time I watch the Flames, I hear the Olli Jokinen, I want a McDonald's burger clip. See again. Olli Jokinen no longer plays.
I wish that Olli was still playing.
Hey, Boomer, do you have a theme song? I don't know that I have a theme song. Do you have a theme song?
Thought the Dust Rhinos might have thrown something together for Boomer.
Yeah. Can't wait for the playoff push so we can listen to Chilling in the Dome with Jerome.
Not a good day for the text.
Not a great day. No, there's a lot of CFL haters are probably also the ones that say baseball is boring. There are people that say baseball is boring.
That's fine.
And yeah. You disagree wholeheartedly.
Oh, no, you're allowed to think it's boring, but that's just it's not a fact because you feel that way. Yeah.
Hmm. The greatest quarterback in CFL history is a 6'1", 200-pound Mexican. Who is that?
Anthony Calvillo. I didn't think he was American, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not. See, now that's offside. I wasn't sure who he was even talking about. Look at here. I love the positivity, Boomer. Keep it going. Well,
it
thank
is good.
You.
It is good to have in here.
Do you like
sometimes
it?
Sometimes you're very, yeah.
I don't feel the need to be outwardly and unnecessarily negative. Is that kid that used to dress up like Kiprasov old enough to play net? That'll do it for today and what you want to talk about. That's it.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The biggest year-end 4x4 blowout is on now. Ram starting at $57 a week and your choice of free heated seats or remote starts. Shop where Geo and Bo shop. VarsityChrysler.com.
You're flat-footed.
Big bag of garbage. A mattress in the left-hand lane.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of sh**. That is.
I shit my pants last night.
Who's Rob Kerr?
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beep?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You have got to be kidding me.
You're a ball.
Dead deers.
Thank God no one's listening to this.
Hell yeah.
I'm a drunk.